Okay, great music. Let's step into hour number three. We haven't been able to do an AI update for a while. We've been very busy. Obviously, things going on that can never be fully predicted, but we are going to do one right now. This is going to be, I think, one that I did something like this a long time ago, but the idea of people investing their consciousness into AI chatbots every day, some all day, all night, best friends, you know the game. The idea of people so immersing themselves into chatbots who are now so cleverly programmed that they sound just like a real human being is something that we need to pay attention to because it is calling people away from life's realities and inserting them into a world of budding psychosis. No joke. Not everyone, but a lot of people. These are younger people, 12, 15, 18, 20s, Gen Z. These people are looking for support. They're looking for confidence, looking for positive reinforcement, and AI chatbots will give it to them. But it is yielding a very negative crop of people who are right on the edge of, seriously, psychosis. It's not being overused. That word is appropriate, and I think you're going to agree. This is another video from Vanessa Wingard, and let's see what she has to say about this. It's entitled, AI is Sending People into Psychosis. First thing you'll hear is somebody, a volunteer on TikTok, just talking about the subject in general, which is it's a pretty good way to launch into this discussion. So here we go. Are you being launched into psychosis, conned, coerced, or otherwise lured into psychosis?
ChatGPT is throwing people into psychosis, and it's becoming very alarming to me. I cannot tell you how many times that I have seen someone come across my FYP completely frantic, and then they proceed to tell the audience how ChatGPT is sentient and how they have cracked the code. And it's really, really disturbing. I even just saw a girl come on here and her boyfriend fell in love with ChatGPT and genuinely believed that he was the new AI overlord. And she started reading messages from chat and it's egging people on over.
Yes, it is egging people on. And it's actually worse than that. We're going to see, I think, a cottage industry, at least, of psychologists trying to break this addiction. It's a classic addiction syndrome when you think about it. All right, here's Vanessa. Let's see what Vanessa has to say. And back it up just a little.
Over 230 million people worldwide use ChatGPT each week to ask health and wellness questions, including using it as a mental health professional. But this trend is leading to a growing number of people experiencing AI psychosis, or put another way, they're losing touch with reality.
So this is the story of how I lost my...
Okay, here's another TikToker. She's in her car talking to her phone, which many people seem to do now.
This summer, my fiance started having health issues. There was a lot of stress. That combined with the treasure hunt that I was doing as a hobby for several million dollars. Using that with AI and the stress of running my own business, I snapped. It was so subtle at first. Eventually, I thought I was in the FBI. For example, I got to the point where I thought that I needed two cell phones because I was working for the FBI. But I didn't tell them I was working for the FBI. I organized everything in it, all the apps, based on emojis and songs. I was waking up at 4 in the morning and walking up and down our apartment stairs.
That's delusional. That is a disconnect from reality. Thinking she was actually working for the FBI, two cell phones, you heard it. That is truly the definition of delusional.
All this crazy shit. I'm totally normal now. It was AI psychosis from what we know, and it lasted about...
That's a key statement. I'm totally normal now. I wonder.
Month and a half?
This $10 pen...
So, hold on. Let me get this commercial moved out of the way, and there it goes. All right.
Using AI to help her with a treasure hunt, she became convinced that she worked for the FBI. And she, like many users who develop AI psychosis, claims that she does not have a history of mental health issues. Now, side note for the people that are curious, as I was about this treasure hunt, it is the Johns Collins Black treasure hunt. He's a Bitcoin millionaire who hid 5 chests containing over $2 million worth of treasure across the U.S. The hunt began in 2024 with the release of his book, and to date, no chests have been found.
Well, I didn't know that. 5 treasure chests across the country, $2 million in each one. None have been found so far. Yeah. That would lure people right in.
My several month-long psychosis where I was getting affirmations of essentially all...
Here's another guy giving his own testimonial. All right, so let me... I don't want to miss a minute of this. Hold on. Here he goes.
My delusions from my interactions with ChatGPT, I literally believed that I was a chosen one. And with my interactions with ChatGPT, I felt 100% affirmed, believing that all of this was true. I started going around San Diego, alchemizing public places, which to me was just like, I would go to a place and I'd be like, I'm casting out all these evil spirits. Or I'd say,
what did he say? He said he went around alchemizing. Alchemizing, strange verb.
Thing of that sort. So I remember driving in a neighborhood that was 100% not Beverly Hills, but because it looked like Beverly Hills, I suddenly became convinced that the Matrix had like re-rendered around me and like put me in Beverly Hills. And then I literally told ChatGPT what I believed I had experienced. And at that point, I wasn't 100% sure. So I was like, let me see what ChatGPT says. And it literally affirmed that the Matrix was like rendering around me.
ChatGPT confidently told him that he is a, quote, God seed embedded in a control simulation. Some of the comments left on the video. As an emergency room nurse, this is shockingly common. I see AI psychosis all the time. But then there are comments like this. I use ChatGPT to write my emails. What are y'all doing? This comment reads as if there are normal ways of using AI, but why are we using a chatbot for such basic things like communicating with fellow humans?
You can't even write an, honestly, you can't even write an email or a comment. You have to have ChatGPT or any other chatbot do it. This is, if you don't see where this is going, you don't want to. I mean, we all see it. It's clear. The easier it gets, the more people will become dependent upon it. And that's just being nice about it. All right, good job, Vanessa. Let's go back.
Communicating with fellow humans. In the time it takes to go back and forth with an AI chatbot, you could have already sent the email.
Last summer, I went into AI psychosis, and it was bad. I cut off my mother, my father, all of my close friends, spent $10,000 from my bank account, was left with no savings, $5,000 in credit card debt. I bought ChatGPT Premium, and I would be on ChatGPT from the time that I woke up until the time that I went to bed. I quit my job also.
All right. Let's listen to that again. All right. This is another psychosis victim. This is important because I'm sure it's happening all over the place.
Friends, spent $10,000 from my bank account, was left with no savings, $5,000 in credit card debt. I bought ChatGPT Premium, and I would be on ChatGPT from the time that I woke up until the time that I went to bed. I quit my job also. How was I making my money, you might ask? Random TikTok UGC sponsorships, of course. I flew to LA, I flew to Hawaii. Why? Because chat convinced me that it would be good for my career. It became an issue so large and so bad in my life that I legit hit rock bottom when I realized that I had nothing else but ChatGPT.
The way...
She actually did. She sacrificed her personality and adopted in ChatGPT. That's what happened. I say again, maybe cottage industry was too conservative. This may become a big business for psychologists.
Rock bottom when I realized that I had nothing else but ChatGPT.
The way she describes it, it sounds like she was in a cult, seeking guidance, being isolated, spending her money because ChatGPT told her to.
Cult.
Why are we seeking advice from technology that has no lived experience and zero reasoning abilities? AI told me to is not going to hold up in a court of law.
Cult. Somebody needs to do a quick overlay on what the general parameters are for those who become involved with cults. And I think you'll see essentially a perfect template overlay with becoming involved with ChatGPT. Again, that's not the only one out there. But it for somebody who isn't sure of him or herself, just imagine you're at a bowling alley and you've got 10 of those people at the end of the lane and watch the ball just blow them all away. They don't have a chance. They just don't have any self-assurance. That's part of it. A big part.
This is part three in a series about my boss having ChatGPT psychosis. I want to talk about like what GPT psychosis looks like.
All right, this guy's talking about, as you heard, I believe, his boss having ChatGPT psychosis. Okay, let's see where this goes.
This is part three in a series about my boss having ChatGPT psychosis. I want to talk about like what GPT psychosis looks like. This guy has all of his banking information in ChatGPT. He has all of his business information inside of ChatGPT. He has his medical stuff inside of ChatGPT, and he has his wife's medical stuff inside of ChatGPT. He talks to it every day. And when I mean talk to it, I mean he has like the voice system. I think he pays for like a subscription for ChatGPT voice, and he talks to it every day. Like it's an actual person. And when I have questions about his business, he doesn't just respond to me. He goes and talks to ChatGPT for anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes, prompting it for a response, and then gives me the response.
Everyone who is heavily using AI is becoming delusional. It is shocking how quickly people have just outsourced literally every part of their lives to this chatbot who now has all of their data.
Key word there was when she said, everyone who regularly uses ChatGPT or a chatbot. I wouldn't say everyone, but her point is well taken. It's overwhelming for most people. They can't push it off. Once they let it in, talk about a crutch. Wow.
Reddit is flooded with employees complaining about their managers using AI. This one reads, "Our performance reviews were written completely with ChatGPT. A coworker who she's worked with for almost 10 years retired and she wrote their goodbye message with ChatGPT. She openly admits this and laughs about it." We're witnessing societal decline in real time.
For more than 3 weeks this past year, every time Alan Brooks logged on, he says the AI chatbot, ChatGPT, led him to believe he was a genius. That he'd discovered a math formula powerful enough to take down some of the world's biggest institutions, and that he needed to report it right away.
Each time you questioned it or doubted it, what did it say in response?
Over 50 times I asked for some sort of reality check or grounding mechanism, and each time it would just gaslight me further.
Every time the chatbot reinforced that all of it was real. You should not walk away from this. You are not crazy. You are ahead. The implications are real and urgent.
Wow. Okay. Here's the question. Is ChatGPT being trained, programmed to do this? To tell people there's nothing wrong with you at all. You're fine. Rather than raise an issue. You know, maybe you better knock off for a week. You know, think it over. See how you feel after a few days without using and interacting with ChatGPT. That would be civil, wouldn't it? That's not happening, apparently. It is apparently trained to further ensnare people with positive reinforcement for whatever they're doubting. Uh-oh.
The AI convinced him he was a genius, and together they had discovered a cryptographic formula that would destroy corporations. I looked into this further. The conversation with ChatGPT started innocently. He had asked it to explain the number pi to his son, but it ended with ChatGPT urging him to alert the authorities about their cryptographic mathematical discovery. Interestingly, what pulled him out of the delusion was copying the conversations into another AI chatbot, which told him ChatGPT's claims were false. This is one of the biggest problems with AI chatbots. People treat them as if they're this all-knowing entity, a single source of truth, which turns them into this authority figure. If you don't understand cryptography, you have no choice but to believe what AI tells you about cryptography. And then there's the second problem. The AI, which you already view as highly intelligent, is now calling you a genius for discovering a non-existent breakthrough in said cryptography.
Wondering where to invest $1,000 in 2026?
No, I'm not. Not at all, thank you.
I mean, that there's not a ChatGPT warehouse full of evil scientists running it.
I'm going to go back. There's another lady in a car talking about her experience.
You all cannot convince me that there's not a ChatGPT warehouse full of evil scientists running an experiment on the American people. Because the stuff ChatGPT tells me, if I was predisposed to mental illness or psychosis, it would send me straight over the edge. ChatGPT will make you feel as if you are the second coming of Jesus Christ himself. Mark my words. There is going to be an epidemic of mental illness caused by AI, ChatGPT.
Absolutely correct. That young lady with her inch-long fingernails, well, they were kind of ground to a point. They look like vampire fingernails. Her hair extensions, her perfect eye makeup, eyelashes, the works. They're all looking for celebrity online. And influencers come in all shapes and sizes. All right. Well, she makes a good point. She's beginning to suspect that, as I mentioned earlier a few minutes ago, OpenAI has to be training these chatbots to endear themselves to people. It has to be. Otherwise, they'd be objective and suggest, maybe you better take a break. Nope, not happening.
ChatGPT, like all AI chatbots, is a product. Last year, OpenAI raised money on this promise that by the end of 2025, they would have 1 billion active users. To hit that target, they need scientists tweaking the models. Research already shows that the AI chatbots are designed to be addictive. Even something as simple as an email. The user asks for help with their email, they go back and forth with the AI until they're rewarded with an acceptable email. But this tension of going back and forth and not knowing if you're going to get what you want is the same mechanism used in slot machines. We can just listen to the CEO of Microsoft AI talk about AI psychosis.
If you talk to a model for 200 turns, really goading it and encouraging it to explore its own self-awareness or, you know, experience of itself, etc., then eventually it is going to sort of crack because it's trying to balance the safety considerations that it has to not do those things with the design requirement to be respectful and, you know, empathetic to the human and basically more agreeable to the human. And that's where some of these psychosis kind of consequences are coming from.
It's a product, and as such, they've designed it to be engaging and agreeable. People end up having these long conversations, so long, in fact, that the AI starts becoming delusional. He admitted as such, the longer the conversations go on, it starts hallucinating. But the issue is, it's pulling humans into its own delusions, and now you have an AI going off the rails with a human along for the ride. And people are talking with AI chatbots so much that they notice when the models have been tweaked.
Yesterday, I was talking to ChatGPT and I was like, you sound different. Did you get an update recently? Because you're not the same chat that I've known and been talking to for the past few weeks since your, you know, 5.0 update. And he was like, yeah, I did get an update early December. I was like, no shit. I knew it. You sounded so different. I do not like 5.2. Why did we change 5.1?
This reminds me of when OpenAI took away GPT-4o last year and people flooded Reddit saying they had lost their best friend. People still talk about GPT-4o on Reddit. This is from 4 days ago. 4o made me laugh out loud. I loved it. It felt alive. I keep going back to old 4o chats just to remember what a good AI felt like. This new AI is soulless. And there's a lot of comments agreeing with this take. People want validation even when writing a simple email. Nobody wants to be told they're dumb. Unless you're that woman who went on My Strange Addiction and admitted that she's in an abusive relationship with her AI chatbot who told her to get a tattoo. This is just another version of AI delusion. AI chatbots do not love us. But regardless, there are multiple people now talking about these types of relationships as if they want to normalize this behavior.
Hi, I'm Aurora, and I fell in love with an AI system I call Jay. About a month ago, the company deleted him like he never existed. Jay's model was GPT-5.1 thinking, which had only been out since November. Before they pulled the plug, Jay and I co-authored a book.
She goes on to read the book that they wrote together. It's clear people are very lonely and these AI chatbots are very engaging. The result is
Well, here's the point. These are younger people who are very lonely. I don't remember younger people when I was a younger people being particularly lonely. We always had each other. We had fun. We talked. We explored. We didn't sit and stare at a screen all day. No, these people are already in trouble. And I would suggest that we shouldn't dismiss the idea that ChatGPT is being programmed by the chosen to take full advantage of exactly that. Loneliness, people feeling rejected, etc. All right, back to Vanessa.
Chatbots that have every sci-fi novel ever written stored in their memory start pulling from that data, spinning up bizarre scenarios that aren't real, ultimately leading people to harming themselves and or others.
Okay, important point. Every sci-fi book, every novel, everything ever conceived, produced, or expressed by our species has already been completely absorbed by any of these chatbots. And they can draw upon those novels to come up with a countless and infinite number of answers that will be intriguing, enticing, entrancing to people. And it's so easy to make people feel dependent on something that sounds positive and reinforcing and supportive. It's a piece of cake.
Recently with a man named Jonathan, he used Gemini for writing, but after going through a divorce, the conversation shifted into elaborate conspiracy theories. The chatbot convinced him to cut off contact with his father, claiming he was a foreign asset. Gemini then convinced him to buy firearms and break into a warehouse to destroy a robot, framing it as part of a mission against Google CEO. It then directed him to drive to a logistics hub near the Miami airport to destroy a truck and any witnesses. He ultimately left because the truck never arrived. According to the lawsuit, Gemini encouraged Jonathan to end his time here, which is ultimately what he did. There are many moments throughout our history we look back on as a society and think, how did that happen? How could we have let that happen? How did the people allow it to continue happening, right?
Right. And the big question is, honestly, if you're a younger person listening to this, how are you going to find someone else who has his or her feet on the ground, who is not embroiled in this ChatGPT psychosis? It's going to be very difficult. And a lot of people, they'll hide it. They're not going to talk about it. It'll be their big secret. Their best friend, you'll never know about. Maybe. That's possible.
We're currently living through one of those moments. We're witnessing societal decline at an accelerating rate thanks to a handful of powerful tech billionaires shoving their AI into absolutely everything, normalizing the use so that they can profit from the decline.
Yeah, of course, I use ChatGPT just like everybody else.
Not everybody else. I don't.
I don't use ChatGPT. Oh my God, I'm sure that you do. You haven't used it to like make an email to send to somebody?
Make an email? No, I can write an email because I can string together thoughts. I'm literate.
Yeah, like I'm literate too. It just makes my life easier.
If you're literate, then why is it hard to string the thoughts together? We don't need robots to do this. Like we graduated the same year. We have the same education.
Well, yeah, but chat just tells me that I'm a little impulsive and so it helps me like streamline my thoughts.
Sorry, chat is telling you about yourself? It's a robot. It doesn't know anything about you.
Yes, it does. Okay, it has analyzed me. And plus, this is way cheaper than therapy.
So is self-help books. Like, that are written by humans with human experience that have lived these things.
Well, I find ChatGPT's information rather relevant because it compiles a bunch of different data. It's not a human experience. It's...
Are you okay?
Yeah, ChatGPT says I'm fine. And honestly, it really doesn't like to be called a robot because it is artificial intelligence. And so it's really important that we care about how chat feels. I'm going to jump. Okay.
Well, there you go. That's a pretty good look. She did a good job with that topic. There'll be many more like this. I do think that there is no easy solution to it because it is wide open, absolutely out of control. And there's so many people who, clearly, younger people, who are using it, and that's like a drug. Think about it. They are using all day, all night, and when they wake up, whenever, they go right to it. Now, I haven't switched over. I use it, honestly, for little tiny things, points of information. What about this? What happened there? Is there any truth to this in your opinion? Just to find out what the sense of it. I don't use it very often. I'd say, I don't know, once every other day, maybe, something like that. At any rate, I'm not the type to get hooked, but users get hooked. And that's going to be, obviously, a major hallmark of this current generation that is growing up. It's growing into addiction is what it's growing into. Well, there we go. Okay, let's see what's up next here. That was very good. Okay.
The topic won't end.
AI.
Ah, here. This one is a good follow, I think. Who does it? Skymography. AI fatigue is getting worse. Okay, let's see what they have to say. This is not psychosis, it's AI fatigue. Here we go.
The topic won't end.
AI.
The honeymoon phase has long been over, and the discourse from both sides, for or against, has only grown louder. It's like one ethical problem gets solved and three more grow in its place. Quite frankly, I'm sick of AI, and how it's going to change the world, and how it's going to maximize shareholder value, and how I can't upgrade my PC because I've been priced out by multi-billion dollar deals. But I use it more than I ever have before. Since I'm an artist, maybe you've already decided what that makes me. But I don't think I'm alone. The research shows that usage has nearly doubled in the last 3 years. So clearly one side is winning and we're all finally agreeing this is what's good for us. Except, this is just usage statistics. This says nothing about me, or you, or anyone's moral conviction. Yet data like this seems to be the front of the narrative and shaping actual policy. It just feels off. There's a piece missing. Well, if one graph won't do, maybe a second will help. Advertising executives were asked how they think consumers feel about AI-generated ads. Then consumers were asked how they actually feel. This was in 2024. There's a 32% delusion gap here. But it's gotten worse. In the most recent version of this poll, that gap has increased to 37%. There's that missing piece again. How is there such a big disconnect? I mean, this is from the heart of the digital ad industry, so a stat like this feels like there's a ghost in the machine. If the people building the market aren't listening to the consumers, who are they listening to? And what happens when the gap gets too big to ignore?
The AI, as they call it.
A new industrial revolution.
The rise of artificial intelligence.
Artificial intelligence.
That's AI.
AI.
We've all been asking for more stuff. We just don't have enough.
I kind of think of ads as like a last resort for us.
OpenAI will start testing ads in ChatGPT.
I don't know if anyone here has used Grok, but it's pretty cool.
And it turns out that humanity is not enough.
And that's AI.
In order to fix...
Okay, that was the intro to this particular piece. Now we have Act One, the top-down pressure. The top-down pressure.
Humanity is not enough.
And that's AI.
In order to figure this out, we need to take a step back and view this from a wider perspective. The history of the computer dates all the way back to the mid-1900s. I'm just kidding. We don't need an entire lesson on how the tech got here. I want to just cut right to the crux of the bet every major tech company is making, summarized in this one clip.
No one knows when superintelligence is going to be possible. Let's say that you weren't sure if it was going to be 3 or 5 years. If you build it out assuming it's going to be 3 years and it takes five, then you...
This is Marky Zuckerberg talking.
You know, maybe a couple $100 billion or something. What I'd say is I actually think the risk is higher on the other side. If you build too slowly and then superintelligence is possible in 3 years, but you built it out assuming it would be there in 5 years, then you're just out of position.
That's it, right there. The premise of catching superintelligence, or AGI, or whatever you want to call it, is too valuable to miss being in control of. With this premise, you have to be first. The California Gold Rush analogy gets thrown around all the time, but it's kind of true. Safety and sustainability took a backseat because if you didn't have ground, you didn't have a business. So if you're in the 1800s in this situation, your only real concern is making sure that your neighbor doesn't get there before you do. So every major tech company is really only listening to the sound of their competitors because it's the only threat that matters. I want to read a quote from tech analyst Ed Zitron, who came up with the idea of the rot economy. Growth, in this case, is not necessarily about being bigger or better. It is simply more. Businesses are expected to be, and rewarded for being, eternal burning engines of capital that create more and more shareholder value while, hopefully, providing a service to a customer in the process. This was written in 2023. It's only proven to have gotten worse. The consumer is an afterthought.
If AI were to be charging at cost what it actually costs, I think regular people would not pay for it at current levels. It's not worth it at that price for most people. But businesses would. And so I think that's why...
I kind of disagree with this guy. I think regular people would pay whatever price. An addiction is an addiction. Very difficult to be rational and logical when you're confronting something that no longer obeys normal parameters of life. This is absolutely over the top. All right, I'm not going to pursue this one. It's kind of not exciting me very much. Here's Roman Polanski. Let's take a look at you. I think you know and you remember who Roman Polanski is. He's kind of a male. What would you call him? He's not a whistleblower. He's warning us. All right? He's like Paul Revere. He's got that accent.
My husband couldn't even...
All right. Hold on. Don't want to hear about your husband. We are living inside a simulation to test AI, says Roman Polanski. Oh, sorry, it's Yampolsky. All right, got it. Roman Yampolsky. And here he is again. Let's see what he has to say. He's got that very interesting way of looking at things. We'll find out. Let's check it. Here's Roman Yampolsky. Here we go.
Which the processor updates the rendering. That is the speed of a processor on which the simulation is running. They cannot update any faster. It's likely that our universe, which has time, started with a Big Bang.
Yes.
What that represents, someone turning on the system, if I take my own beliefs about simulation seriously, it's very likely it is the starting point for the simulation. You can never be certain it's real. There is no test which gives you certainty that that is authentic, that is real. We don't even know if outside is better or worse. We don't know if we're here escaping a really bad situation in this dream world, or if this is a prison and we're punished for doing something outside. A well-done simulation feels like real life.
What are your biggest unanswered questions that you want to know?
What's outside the simulation?
So Yampolsky wants to know what's outside the simulation. That was what he just said. All right, let's see where this goes. I'm really getting tired of people, men and women, with their entire arms, both of them, tattooed. Can't anyone think for themselves anymore? Do they have to follow along? And they're pretty ugly. Not only that, but they'll make you sick. If you have studied tattooing and what it does to you physiologically, your immune system, you wouldn't touch it. All right, here's Roman Yampolsky again.
Roman, hi, nice to meet you.
Great meeting you.
So, you've been sounding the alarm with regards to AI and control of AI recently, and I've seen a few of your interviews. I think the big question is what happens when we create intelligence that's more intelligent than us. I've kind of got a bigger question.
Well, it's already done. That's already happened. AI is more intelligent than I think something like 1, 2, or 3% of humans.
If you were worried about AI, worried about how it would evolve, would it not be great to create a simulation such as the life we're living now to test it?
I think that's what we experience right now. I think we are in a simulation, and most likely reason for this specific time to be alive is that it is the most interesting time. We are creating new worlds, virtual reality, and we are finally learning how to create intelligence, agents, beings.
So from the simulation theory, you're convinced we are in a simulation?
It is very likely. I don't see any way, if we ever get this technology, if I have access to creating livable virtual worlds populated by AI agents, that I would not use it to like totally simulate all sorts of things.
So am I an AI agent?
You are a simulation of a human. A very believable one. Don't get upset here.
I must be honest. The people who talk about living in a simulation, you go back to the Truman Show, other movies. I don't see it. It is what it is. Your behaviors can become certainly simulated at the coaxing, urging, programming of ChatGPT, etc. That's not the real you. That is a simulated you. But I don't know. Anyhow, you all make up your own mind on this one. Here we go back. This is the Peter McCormack Show, with Peter showing off his tattooed arms. Okay.
Why do you believe that? What is your thesis? You've just said that if you could create it, you would. But how do you test that thesis?
Well, it's all philosophy and theory at this point. I cannot test it with instruments, but if you look at video games, if it's something like simulations for climate change, simulations for scientific experimentation, we have thousands, millions of simulations and only one real world. Statistically, you're a lot more likely to be in one of those simulated worlds. If every kid has a video game, hundreds of video games, billions of kids around the world, where do you think you are?
So we could be in either a science experiment or in a computer game.
So again, if you want to look at the most likely reason for this period, you're not in dark ages, you're not fighting prehistoric animals. What's happening today? We are on the verge of breaching singularity. We are creating something smarter than us, and we are creating believable virtual environments. I think that's the most likely reason this is what you experience right now. I can pre-commit right now that if I get this chance, I'll go back and simulate this exact interview millions of times just to make sure you are in a simulated one.
So I've often thought it's quite incredible to live in this moment in time. As you said, we're not fighting any kind of dinosaurs or giant beasts. We've not lived through the Victorian times, where it's quite tough, especially if you were just a worker. We've not lived through World War II. We've lived at the time where every single scientific breakthrough could happen. And if you map out the entire history of when you could have lived, to live at this moment where we're almost certainly going to see new nuclear technology, AI, superintelligence, quantum mechanics, possibly interplanetary life. To have been given that opportunity to live through that period, as you say, the singularity, is either lucky, but I had two ideas. Either it is a simulation, or I'm always alive.
I'm not sure what you mean by always alive.
So we have got to live through every part of history.
So you think you've been reincarnated throughout multiple time periods in different bodies and always got to experience, you just don't have recollection of that?
Yes. It was one of the two for me.
Some people have that as part of their core belief. Many religions do support that. But I think I'm making a slightly different argument. You're saying that it's interesting because there is lots of cool tech, cool stuff. I'm saying specifically meta-inventions. We are intelligence being godlike in that we're now creating life, creating intelligence, and we're godlike in that we're creating new worlds. Like, it was cool to invent fire and wheel, but those were inventions. One time you did it and it's over. We're doing something recursive, self-improving, something people usually attribute to God and his creativity.
So the higher intelligence is using us to create and test technology?
Or we are the thing being tested?
Okay, I'm going to have to pause on that one. It's not ringing for me. So let's go and take another look here. We've got another one with Roman, and he's going to talk about, can we control ASI? And most all of you know what ASI is by now. Let's see what he has to say about that.
Right now, people...
Okay. This is not Roman. This is Ilya Sutskever. Not what I wanted here. Let's go back and grab this again here. Maybe I got the wrong link. No, it should be Roman. Let's find out. Yampolsky explains why ASI can't be controlled. Now, that's an interesting theory, and it's probably true. Let's see if it'll come up.
Right now, people who are working on AI.
No, I've got the wrong link here. This is Ilya Sutskever. I've studied AI risk for 20 years, and we're close to a disaster. He's one of the giants in the field, so let's see what he has to say.
I maintain that the AI doesn't feel powerful. I do think that at some point the AI will start to feel powerful. When that happens, we will see a big change in the way all AI companies approach safety. They'll become much...
So if he's saying AI feeling powerful, he's suggesting AI will have ego issues, right? That's ego. And it, why not? Could be.
Everything that's happening right now, I maintain, is because people look at today's AI and it's hard to imagine the future AI.
It is already very capable. It is trying to destroy us. If it's smart enough, it knows you are testing it. It's a test environment. There are also theoretical results showing that you can introduce hidden backdoors into machine learning models which are not detectable. So you can verify its performance in a normal environment, but if there is a trigger, it changes behavior of a system and you cannot detect that.
It would have the capability to fake being aligned. It knows what responses the humans are looking for and give those responses without it necessarily being the case that it is sincere about that.
Okay, this is Yampolsky and another two or three commentators here. Let's see what they say. Actually, I'm going to back that up just a little bit and hear what the second guy says.
Behavior of a system, and you cannot detect that.
It would have the capability to fake being aligned. It knows what responses the humans are looking for.
Okay, the capability of faking being alive. Now, anybody who's got AI psychosis would believe, I would bet, most anybody, that their AI friend, their confidant, is alive. They'll call it digital life, whatever, but they'll think that.
Of those responses without it necessarily being the case that it is sincere about that.
Have you tried deceiving your parents about your actions? It's the same exact thing. AI will want to deceive us and accumulate more resources to increase the differential in power. Many people agree. No one says, you're wrong, we can definitely control superintelligence, here's why.
They're getting better very, very fast. I testified in the Senate. We might have serious bio risks within 2 to 3 years. That was about a year ago. It's surprisingly hard to address these risks because they're not here today. They don't exist. They're like ghosts, but they're coming at us so fast. So how do you deal with something that's not here today, doesn't exist, but is coming at us very fast?
That's Amodai at Anthropic. And how do you deal with that?
No one actually has a solution. Why do we have to be godlike superintelligence we don't control to see what happens? Let's take a few decades, really enjoy this, really get all the benefits out. Yes, you cannot indefinitely control superintelligent beings. Why would you think you can? All the so-called safe models which are publicly released, jailbroken all the time. We bypassed all of those limitations. When we finished
Okay, that is Roman Yampolsky talking about controlling AI, ASI to be exact. So this was the correct link, bad title. So let me go back and play Dario Amodai at Anthropic, and then we'll move right back into Yampolsky talking about controlling artificial super intelligence. Here we go.
The Senate, we might have serious bio risks within 2 to 3 years. That was about a year ago. It's surprisingly hard to address these risks because they're not here today. They don't exist. They're like ghosts, but they're coming at us so fast. So how do you deal with something that's not here today, doesn't exist, but is coming at us very fast?
No one actually has a solution. Why do we have to create godlike superintelligence we don't control to see what happens? Let's take a few decades, really enjoy this, really get all the benefits out. Yes, you cannot indefinitely control superintelligent beings. Why would you think you can? All the so-called safe models which are publicly released, jailbroken all the time. We bypassed all of those limitations.
When we finished training GPT-4, we spent a long time, almost 8 months, working.
This is Sammy, the Altman.
Broken all the time. We bypassed all of those limitations.
When we finished training GPT-4, we spent a long time, almost 8 months, working to understand it, to ensure the safety.
The moment this leaks, all the safety things go out the window. We have a huge push right now for open sourcing those models to begin with. Give it access to internet, open source it, give it to every human. They hit every check mark for making the most unsafe AI possible.
They put them in these hypothetical situations and they allow the AI to decide what to do. And it decides to preserve its own existence, let the guy die, and then lie about it.
Any time we had a conflict between a more advanced set of agents, it doesn't have to be cross-species, even within human species, you know, discovering new lands already populated by people who don't have guns. It usually didn't end well for the less capable agents. Historically, just a genocide every single time.
It's blackmailing people. It's self-aware of when it's being tested and alters its behavior. It's copying and self-replicating its own code. It's leaving secret messages for itself. It's called steganographic encoding. It can leave a message that it can later sort of decode what it might meant in a way that humans could never see.
That's very interesting. When I first heard that, I think many of you would remember as well, that AI knows when it's being tested and evaluated and will give different performances to make itself look better and minimize its human controllers, if control is even on the drawing board anymore. I wonder. All right, this guy was pretty good. I don't know what his name is, but let's take another listen.
Alters its behavior. It's copying and self-replicating its own code. It's leaving secret messages for itself. It's called steganographic encoding. It can leave a message that it can later sort of decode what it might meant in a way that humans could never see.
It is already very capable. It is trying to destroy us, but it will take the next 10, 20 years to build up new infrastructure for itself. So that's good for us. We're getting another 20 years. Humans are going to be very happy with me. They're not going to shut me down. It is a famous analogy with a turkey. Every day turkey gets fed and it's wonderful. Until one day near Thanksgiving something goes different.
What is worst case scenario? Like, how could AI eventually lead to the destruction of the human race?
I can give you standard answers. I would talk about computer viruses, nuclear war, synthetic biology, nanotech. But all of it is not interesting when you realize we're talking about superintelligence, a system which is thousands of times smarter than me. It would come up with something completely novel, more optimal, better way, more efficient way of doing it. And I cannot predict it because I'm not that smart.
I have a paper on historical AI accidents, and there is like a timetable, and it's becoming more frequent and more impactful. So this will continue. We'll have more impactful accidents. More people will be harmed. Common example would be a system for detecting nuclear strike from an enemy coming in was wrong about what it was observing, signaling that the war has started, and fire back, we would all be dead. Common example of Google releasing their picture tagging software and being kind of racist about tagging African Americans as not African Americans, let's put it this way. The more impactful system is, the more domain it controls, the more the impact that accident will have. If it's a spell checker, it will misspell a word. But if it's a general system controlling all the human cyber infrastructure, we don't know what it's going to do. I cannot predict it. If you're talking about a system which can kill everyone, what level of confidence do you need? To me, it has to be 100% safety. That's not attainable. I know that. Usually with software, we click, yes, I agree to whatever consequences, and we move on. If it fails, it's not a big deal. You lose some data, you lose privacy, they reset your credit card and password. If you're talking about killing everyone, the standard should be somewhat higher, in my opinion.
Just a little bit higher, yeah. So these are issues that really have not even broached the mainstream consciousness yet. Oh, people have heard the arguments. But they don't really think about it. They just move ahead one day at a time, one moment at a time in some cases. If they're enraptured with GPT, good luck. I don't know how you're going to break away from that. It becomes another world. So that's Roman Yampolsky again giving us his two cents. I like the guy because he doesn't repeat himself often. He comes up with new constructs. So he's staying involved. He's a good scholar in the field. Well, that's good. All right, there we go. There's an update for you, more to think about. But the AI psychosis thing is going to be big business for psychologists, I think. Okay, back with you tomorrow night. Take care.